Well, good morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord, Emmanuel family, praising our Father, singing these amazing, wonderful words? Before we dive into the word, let's pause. Take a breath and let's pray. Invite the Holy Spirit to where we are. Father God, we drop our anchors in your presence right now. Some of us come here today carrying heavy loads, exhausted minds, or lingering questions. Others came in full of joy. Wherever we find ourselves on the spectrum of life today, we ask that you would open our eyes to see you clearly. Father, we're asking, close and quiet the noise in our minds. Calm the anxiety in our hearts. Proclaim your good news to our souls through your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to remember a negative comment for 10 years, yet forget something that was said to you nice 5 minutes ago? You can receive a kind, encouraging word, maybe 10 a day. But that one critical thought or text, email, message from a coworker or a friend or a family member is the one thing that keeps you tossing and turning at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, why is that? It's because our minds have a natural gravitational pull toward what's broken, what's missing, or what is frustrating. Left on autopilot, our human nature drifts toward discontentment. And if we aren't careful, that mental habit leaks over into our spiritual life. We suffer from what we would call chronic spiritual amnesia. When life gets heavy or routine, or uncertain, we forget who God is, and we forget what he has already done for us. King David understood this human tendency. In Psalm 103, our psalm for today, you'll notice something strange about David. He isn't telling you what you should think. He isn't proclaiming to the world. He starts by telling himself what he should do. So let's look at verse 1 and 2. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Right? Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Again, he says, let all that I am praise the Lord. And then he speaks to the mind, right? The heart and mind. May I never forget the good things he does for me. David literally commands his own soul to wake up. He grabs his heart by the lapels and says, listen, yes, we're not going to sit here and brood today. We're going to praise the Lord. Friends, this psalm is a masterclass in preach-to-yourself theology. So pay attention. If you don't talk to your soul, your circumstances will talk to you. If you don't actively remind yourself of God's goodness, your anxiety, your culture, Your fears will dictate your reality. So David sits down and makes a list. He says, soul, let's count the benefits. So number one today, count your blessings. Look at verses 3-5. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Notice these five distinct gifts David names here. And notice they all start with he, right? God. It's not about himself. It's not about you. It's not about your having a stress-free week. Look at what they are. First, he forgives all our sins. Literally, we could stop right there. Celebrate, go home, and spend the rest of our lives just celebrating the fact that he forgives all our sins. Not some of them. Not just the clean or socially acceptable ones. All of our sins. He heals all of our diseases. Whether that healing comes instantly through a miracle, and miracles still do happen, God is still at work in our world in that way, or progressively through medicine, or one we usually forget, ultimately when we receive our resurrected bodies in eternity, God is the ultimate restorer. He's the ultimate healer, and he heals all our diseases. Did it not go? We're testing out our new technology. It's working. He redeems us from the pit is the third one. Have you ever been in a pit? Physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually? Sometimes we get pushed into a pit by life or our circumstances. Sometimes, often, we dig the pit ourselves from our own poor choices. Either way, God doesn't stand at the top of the hole yelling down instructions. He reaches all the way down into the mud and he pulls us out. Remember Ephesians? He takes us and he places us on the rock of himself. And what does he do, number four? He crowns us with love and mercy. In the ancient world, when this was written, only royalty wore crowns. David says that God takes people who were just sitting in a dirty pit, wipes off their grime, places a crown of grace on their heads, and sits them at his royal table. You and I have been rescued from darkness. We've been adopted into his family. And through Christ, we are seated with God at the right hand of Jesus at his table. And then the fifth one, he satisfies our desires with good things. When you're running on empty, spiritually burnt out, or just tired all the way to your bones, he renews our strength like the eagles. This is a staggering list. Forgiveness for your past, redemption for your pits, and strength like the eagles for your present. Sharon and I were LCDCs around the year 2010 in Tokyo. That was language and cultural LCDC, language and cultural something, language and cultural acquisition coaches, LCACL. Anyway, we were language coordinators and we had 38 new language learners. And if you know what it's like to move to another country and try to learn a language, right, it's pretty hard. They were all in full-time language school. And they were adults, married adults, usually with children, having to put their children into kindergarten or some kind of preschool or schools. It was a lot of stress. I mean, it was a really, really difficult time. But one of the things that one of the young ladies did, she challenged the other ladies in the group in their prayer time, in their devotions, and in their corporate getting together and accountability to make a list of what they are grateful for, a gratitude list. And they set the bar pretty high because they said, can we list 1,000 things that we're grateful for? And it took a long time. I don't know actually all the final results, but can you make a gratitude list? Can you start like David, listing all of the good things God has done for you in your life? Literally, make a list, write it down. It's a wonderful thing to go back to and to look at and to praise and thanks and glorify God for what he's done. If you struggle with this list, focus then on the characteristics of God. This is what David does. When life gets bumpy, what's the first thing we tend to do? We tend to question God, his character, don't we? We think, is God mad at me? Is he punishing me for something I did 3 years ago? Has he turned his back on me? Or the proverbial, you know, my prayers don't get past the ceiling. David anticipated that fear. Look at how he describes God in verses 6 through 10. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. Right? David's just looking back and recounting all of the good things that God has done. He says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not consistently accuse us, nor will he remain angry forever. He does not punish us for our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. Think about that and let it sink in for a minute. The characteristics, the attributes of God. God is not sitting up in heaven with a cosmic laser waiting for you to slip up so he can zap you. He isn't short-tempered or passive-aggressive. He is slow to anger, swift to show mercy. If God dealt with us strictly according to what we deserve, none of us could stand for even a second. But because of his compassionate heart, he approaches us with patience. I'm going to put that back up there. Note the things that he does. God is righteous, right? He does right always. My God is always right. He's just, right? He always does the right thing. Just another way of saying that. And then he revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. A beautiful recounting of what God does. But then in these next two verses, David says he's compassionate. God is full of compassion. He loves us, even though we don't deserve it. He's merciful, right? Full of grace and mercy, the two pair that we need both of. He's slow to get angry, which means he's patient, right? How long has God been patient with you? I'm 62. He's been patient with me for 62 years, and he's going to continue to be patient with me because he is slow to get anger and filled with unfailing love, right? That river of love, that grace that wells up within us, that boils over, and we can never use up all of God's grace. And he doesn't constantly accuse us, right? He gives us rest. He gives us time of respite. And he doesn't stay angry with us forever. Thank God, right? Thank you, God, that you don't stay angry with us. And you don't punish us for all our sins. We deserve it, right? Before an almighty God, we are a people of unclean lips. We're a people of unclean hands. We're just totally unclean. And he washes us with the blood of Christ and brings us before his presence, his children, right and with him. He doesn't deal harshly with us. So, this is the character of God. And I want to talk a bit about with one heart and mind. Last week, the title was, "To Whom Are You Listening?" or "Who Are You Listening To?" And we have that tendency in our old sinful nature. When things get going, right, we tend to squirrel up in our brains and we think of things that aren't right. Or we tend to believe the messages of our heart. And every one of us is a sinner standing before a holy God, right? There is nothing, absolutely nothing we can do on our own, right? We come to him, we can only receive grace. But we're also broken people living in a broken world. We have broken families, broken friendships, broken cultures, right? And we have a broken world. It's burning today, right? So many bad things are happening that our hearts take a hit. And we tend to believe the message that our hearts often tell us. And ironically, it's not really our hearts that are telling us. It's the message of the arrows that Satan sends into our lives, usually through an intimate relationship or a brokenness or a trauma, right? And we tend to believe the things in our hearts that are contradictory to this, right? Like, I'll never overcome this. This is just the way I am. I'm messed up. I'm screwed up. Nobody would love me if they knew actually who I was, right? And I know that touches some of you deep in your heart because you have those heart messages. I had them for a lot of years of my life, and I will still tend to have them in stress, right? Because I'm human after all. And those messages come into my heart and they tell me, you'll never make it. You'll never be good enough. God can't love you. And what do we need to do? We need to do like David. We need to return to the word of God. We need to return to the characteristics of God. And just read this list. Make this a part of your gratitude list. And when the messages of life come in, what are you wearing on your chest? Right? The breastplate of righteousness. I put on that breastplate to cover me so that I also take the shield of faith so that those darts won't hit. And if one slips through, it'll hit that, maybe bounce off, right? I don't believe that. I believe what God tells me. You and I have that opportunity. We have that privilege. And in the Summer of Psalms, we're taking these beautiful, amazing, difficult, sometimes real, honest psalms, and we're pairing them with a statement of Jesus. So that statement today from the Sermon on the Mount, known as the Beatitudes, Jesus said, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So how can you be a merciful person? Receive it, right? How can you be a loving person? On your own, you can't. I mean, we try the world's way. We have to receive mercy in order to give mercy. How do we receive it? By measuring the unmeasurable. David tries in these passages to describe how vast God's mercy really is. He uses spatial imagery that stretches our minds far beyond our limits. Look at verses 11 and 12. For his unfailing love toward us, those who fear him, is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. How high is that? Pretty high, right? He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. I love that he says this, as far as the east is from the west. Why didn't David say, as far as the north is from the south? Well, think about it. If you start walking north, eventually you will get to the North Pole, and then you will start walking south, right? North and south meet at some point. But if you start walking east, and you keep walking east, you will never be walking west, right? He separates us as far as the east is from the west. That is infinity. That is how completely God has separated you from your past mistakes. This is how far he has cast away your guilt, your shame, and all of your failure. When God forgives a sin in Christ, he doesn't hold it over our heads. He casts it into the sea of forgetfulness and puts up a no fishing sign, right? Leave it alone. Let it go. Remember this beautiful prayer in Ephesians. There it is. The prayer from Ephesians 3. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ today, though it is so great, you'll never be able to fully understand it. Then, at that point, you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. This is what David was saying hundreds and hundreds of years before Paul preached this. So let's conclude this by saying, how do we take this home today? How do we stop being spiritual forgetters and start becoming spiritual rememberers? First, start preaching to your own soul, right? Start telling yourself how good God is all the time, right? Make a list. Yeah, you can keep it in your Bible, but you don't have this very much, right? You always have this. Make a list on your phone. Pull it up. Make it your screenshot. Every time you open your phone, you'll see all the good things that God has done. So when you wake up tomorrow morning and your anxiety tries to set the agenda for your day, don't just listen to yourself. Speak to yourself. Open Psalm 103 and tell your heart, soul, today we're going to praise God. We're not going to forget his benefits. And the second challenge today is to stop dragging back the baggage God has thrown away. Some of you are sitting here today carrying heavy burdens of shame for things that happened years ago, or maybe last night. You've asked God to forgive you, but you haven't forgiven yourself. You may have asked him for mercy, but we tend to not have mercy on ourselves. You keep traveling west to pick up the very sin that God pushed all the way to the east. Hear me today. Jesus did not go to the cross so you could live in a prison of your own guilt. If God says your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west, who are you to argue with him? You don't need to clean yourself up before you come to him. You come to him in the pit, and he does the redeeming. If you want to step into that freedom today, or if you just need to surrender a broken, heavy heart back to God, I invite you to simply pray this prayer in your heart with me right now. Lord Jesus, I'm trying to do this on my own. I admit that I've sinned, and I've tried to live my life my way. Today, I receive your forgiveness. Pull me out of the pit. Crown me with your love. Remind my soul of who you are and teach me to follow you every day of my life. Amen. If you just prayed that, heaven is rejoicing, and we are too. And I would like to know if this was the first time you prayed something like that. So would you come and tell me, and I get to pray with you. So may we go out this week with our heads held high, knowing that we are loved, forgiven, redeemed, and crowned by the King of Kings. Let's stand for a song of response.